Okay, we ended yesterday in Kaftet and Mubet. We were with this machloka between Rabbi Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. If you recall, what the Gemara said was our Mishnah, which gives knas to all of the women listed in our Mishnah, including the Chayvei Lavim and the Chayvei Kritut, goes against the opinion of both Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh and Rabbi Shimon HaTimni. So Rabbi Shimon ben HaTimni says, only Ishta She'esh B'Havaya, a woman that Kiddushin or Tofsim, then you have to give onet. You have to give the knas. And Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh says, not only a woman who kiddushin or tofsin, but any woman who you're allowed to be married to gets the knas. If you can't be married to her at all, there's any sort of iser, then you're not allowed to. Then you don't have to pay the knas. So they said, what's the difference, the halacha between them? What's the nafkamina? Because if you can't marry her and any kiddushin tofsin, so then we said no, because there's all those cases of chayvei lavim. Then they said, what about Rabbi Akiva, who holds the in kiddushin tofsin b'chayvei lavim, and then it would be the same whether you can marry her or kiddushin or tofsin, it would all be the same category. So they answered that there's one case of the almana l'kohen gadol, and that's according to Rabbi Simai. Okay, that's where we were leaving off yesterday. We have Rabbi Simai who said that there's one exception to Rabbi Akiva's rule, all chayvei lavim in kiddushin tofsin, in which case all of them would be the same whether you hold by Rabbi Shimon Manasseh or Rabbi Shimon HaTimni. But there would be one difference, the halacha, if it was an almana l'kohen gadol, and that would be the difference where Rabbi Akiva would say, again, according to Rabbi Simai, that kiddushin are tofsim in that case, and therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon HaTimni, yesh b'havaya, so you would have to pay the knas. And according to Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, it's not isha haruya l'kaima, he's not allowed to marry her, so it would be there would be no knas. But then we said, what about Rabbi Yeshvav? Rabbi Yeshvav says, okay, bonit zaveach al Akiva ben Yosef. We'll start there. It's four lines from the bottom. Shaya omer kol she'en lo biav Yisrael havlav mamzer. So now he seems to indicate any kind of marriage according to Rabbi Akiva. This is his understanding of Rabbi Akiva. The vlav would be a mamzer, in which case that would include the almana l'kohen gadol case. So then we're going to say, so we're still stuck with Rabbi Akiva then, according to his interpretation, my binayu. So what did they say? Ika binayu, we're going to add another category of the chayve aseh, like the mitzri and the adomi. So we explained this yesterday. The mitzri and the adomi are only usher because the Torah says, dor shlishi yavo hena, which means, from here, from the aseh of you can marry them third generation, you learn that you can't marry first and second generation. And that's obviously weaker than chayve lavim. So the assumption is that even in that case, even according to Rabbi Yeshvav, Rabbi Akiva would agree that kiddushin are tofsim, and that would be the difference, the halacha. But now the Gemara is going to say, not so clear cut. Hanichal Rabbi Yeshvav, ila afuke miditamad Rabbi Simai ka'ate. Now we want to look at what he says. Is he reacting to Rabbi Simai when he says what he says, or is he saying his own thing? If he's reacting to Rabbi Simai, what did Rabbi Simai say? Everything except the almana l'kohen gadol, right? So now, if he's reacting to him, then what's he saying? Even the almana l'kohen gadol. That's how we understood him. But if he's not, because listen to what he says. He says, kol she'en lo bi'abi Yisrael havlav mamzer. He doesn't say almana l'kohen gadol, right? So if he's saying it is a reaction to Rabbi Simai, then we're assuming that what he means is the almana l'kohen gadol is the same as all the rest of them, right? It's just like the rest of them. In which case, we can say, like we said, he was referring to that, but he wasn't referring to chayvei aseh. In which case, even according to Rabbi Yeshvav, there's cases where Rabbi Akiva would say kiddushin or tofsim, and that's chayvei aseh, the mitzvah and the adomi. So then it works. Shapir, it works. Ela itama denafshe kamar. But if he was making a statement disconnected with Rabbi Simai, in which case, what's he saying? Kol she'en lo bi'av Yisrael. Well, then how are we going to understand that line? Kol means any case, even the mitzri and the adomi, even the chayvei aseh. So if we're going to say that, afilu chayvei aseh. So now we're stuck. My binayu. So what's going to be the difference, the halacha, according to that interpretation? So you said there were two ways of understanding. Is he reacting? In which case, he's just relating to that case. Because generally, when we say someone's reacting, generally, unless we have proof to say otherwise, we're going to assume they differ on one issue. Okay, and that's going to be on this issue. But if he's saying a whole independent thing, then he's going to agree that even by chayvei aseh, ein kiddushin tofsim, and now we're stuck. Because we set up all these categories. Remember, we talked about mitabetin and kared and lavim. Then we got to chayvei aseh. Now we're going to have to add a last category that's going to be even weaker than the Chai Ve'aseh. What's that going to be? Or it's within the Chai Ve'aseh, actually, but a weaker case. My binayu, ika binayu be'ulal kohen gadol. What does that mean? If you remember, the kohen gadol is supposed to marry a betula. So what if he marries a be'ula? So again, it's in chiyuv aseh because it's taught that v'hu b'betula ha'yikach. He's supposed to marry, I think that's the pasuk, he's supposed to marry someone who's a betula, which means if he doesn't marry a betula, so it's usher for him, right? So that's again a chai ve'aseh because it's worded in the Torah as a positive commandment, and from the positive we learn the negative. So now, why is that any different though? Why would we think that Rabbi Akiva would distinguish between that and let's say the Mitzri and the Yadomi case? So Maishna, Tehave le'aseh she'eino shave b'kol. Ah, that's the difference. It only relates to one human being, really, right? Or one person at a time, or maybe there's a few Kohen Gadolim, right? We've talked about that even once they're not the Kohen Gadol, they still, right, they have sort of status. But let's say it certainly doesn't affect a lot of people. And because of that, we're going to say that that one's even weaker than the Mitzri and Edomi. And therefore, in a Chai Ve'aseh that's Eino Shave B'kol, even Rabbi Akiva would be moda, according to Rabbi Yeshvav's understanding, that Kiddush and Ertovsim in that case. And that would be the nafkamina between Rabbi Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, which obviously very much narrows the focus of their machloket, okay? But that's what we've gotten to, okay? So we have an answer now. Okay, back to our Mishnah. If you remember, in the list of our Mishnah, so this is all a discussion about whether Kiddush and Ertovsim or not, right? So we have a three-way machloket. Our Mishnah, which says, even if Kiddushin aren't tofsim, you have to pay the knas. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, who says, if Kiddushin are tofsim, then you have to pay the knas. If they're not tofsim, you don't have to pay the knas. And Rabbi Shimon HaTimni. Then Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh says, any woman you're not allowed to marry, for whatever reason you're not allowed to marry her, including the Almana Lekoin, including the Be'ula Lekoin Gadol, even that case, any case where you're not allowed to be married, there's no knas. So now, that would mean that they disagree with most of the third section and even the second, right? The two sections of our Mishnah that discuss the Isurim, right? There was the first section, which is the Mamzeret Netina Kuti, right? Then skip the middle section because that's Giyorit Shvuya Shifra, the Sheniftu, right? Those obviously you can marry. And then the last section, Haba Alachotov, Alachot Aviv, Alachot Imo, Alachot Ishov, Alachot Achiv, et cetera, right? But what's listed in there? Al Hanida. Ah, wait, but the Nida. There's no Kiddushin Tofsin problem by Anida. There's no Yishaharu Yala Kaima, right? So now we're going to see that HaKol Modim Biba'al Anida Shemashalim Knas. Everyone agrees about the Nida case. Even though it's usher to sleep with your wife when she's a Nida, right? It's Chiyuv Karet. But everyone agrees that if someone sleeps with a Nida, if someone rapes a Nida, that he's Mashalim Knas. Why? Lamanda Mar Yesh Bahavaya. Let's say you were to marry a woman when she's a Nida, right? You've heard of that, Chupat Nida, right? It's a complicated case, but nobody would say, oh, if you married a woman while she's a Nida, it's not a good marriage. No, for sure it's a good marriage. You just have to deal with the yichud problems after and some other issues. But for sure it's a good marriage. So, Lamanda Amar Yesh Bahavaya, the Kiddush and Utofsim, Hanami Yesh Bahavaya. So, Rabbi Shimon HaTimni would be in, right? He'd say, you're chayav knas for her. And Lamanda Amar Ruya Lakaima, Hanami Ruya Lakaima, right? You're for sure allowed to stay married to her just because you married her while she was a Nida. Okay, so now we see that this one case of Nida that's listed and clumped with everything together would be different in terms of this machloket. This three-way machloket wouldn't exist. Everyone would agree that she pays knas. Okay, so if he rapes a woman while she's a Nida, okay, he has to pay the knas because he's technically allowed to marry her in that way. Now we're going to see another thing, which is that this whole Mishnah doesn't... Okay, so first we said the Mishnah doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, Rabbi Shimon HaTimni. Now we're going to say our Mishnah also doesn't hold like Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. Now, here we're going to get into... This is going to take us till the rest of today, this topic, which is the last line of the Mishnah. So go back to the last line of the Mishnah. What did it say? Yesh lahem knas af al pi shehem behechret, which means that they get karet, ein behem mitat beitin. Right? Even though they have karet, they don't have mitat beitin. And only when there's mitat beitin do we use this klal of kimle b'derabamine. Remember we learned that klal that if you do two averot in one, we're going to get into this whole thing today. Okay, if you do two averot at the same time in one act, okay, we're going to get into different distinctions, what it means at one time, and it's going to be a whole thing about it. If you're now chayav karet and you're chayav Let's start with the mitat beitin. You're chayav mitat beitin, right? And you're chayav to pay knas. So the knas is going to be eliminated because the mitat beitin is stronger. Okay? That's the opinion of our Mishnah. But the opinion of our Mishnah is that if it's karet and knas, then there's no kim libi derab amine. And that's why they say you pay knas in these cases, even though they're chiyuv karet, because they're only chiyuv karet, and chiyuv karet is bidei shamayim. And bidei shamayim, it's like mixing apples and oranges. Knas is bidei adam, karet is bidei shamayim, and we don't bring the two of them together. Okay? And therefore, there's no din of kim libi derab amine when it's karet and knas. Everybody follows? Well, that's not the only opinion. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana is going to disagree with this. So that's what they're saying. Our Mishnah comes, la'afu kemidu Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. It's to exclude his shita. D'tanya, it says in the Braita, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana haya useh et yom ha-kipurim kishabat l'tashlumin. Ma shabat mitchayev benafsho upatur min ha-tashlumin, af yom ha-kipurim mitchayev benafsho upatur min ha-tashlumin. Okay, what does this mean? Let's say, so Rashi gives the example, okay? You're madligat hagadish b'yom ha-kippurim. Okay, you light a field on fire, and it's obviously not your field. So, you're chayev karet for yom ha-kippurim. Now remember, the difference between yom ha-kippurim and Shabbat is yom ha-kippurim, you're chayev karet. It says b'nichrutu. And when it comes to Shabbat, you're chayev skila. So one's bidei shamayim, one's bidei adam. So what did he say? So if it's Shabbat and you light up someone's field, you're pater from Tashlumin because you're chayav mita. But if it's Yom HaKippurim, what would we say? Karet doesn't come to be motzi, you're chayav mamon. Okay? There's no kim lebedi rabamine when it comes to karet. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana says he would make Yom HaKippurim just like Shabbat for Tashlumin. Just like Shabbat, you're mitchayev benafsho, patur mina Tashlumin, and kim lebedi rabamine comes into play. Af Yom HaKippurim mitchayev benafsho, patur mina Tashlumin. Okay? That's his gisha. He thinks that karet does come and override anything less than it, okay? So when it comes to tashlumin, knas, anything, right, he would say, baba al ha, achoti, whatever it is, eshet achiv, etc., that whole list, we're going to say, he's patra from knas, according to Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, not because ein kiddushin tosim and anything like that, but because kim lebe derab amine. Now we're going to have two explanations as to what the source is for what he said. Amar Abaye, ne'emar asom bidei shamayim, ve'ne'emar asom bidei adam. Ma, okay, before we even start, let's just look at the psukim inside, okay? The first thing to know is, look at Shmo Kaf Aleph. I brought it here on the sheet near the top. This is the source for kim lebe derab amine in general, okay? Here's the source. Ki yinatsu anashim, it's a very famous psukim here. Two men are fighting, v'nagfu isha hara, and they attack a pregnant woman, right? She gets in the way. V'yatzu yiladeha, okay, she loses the babies, okay, the embryo. V'lo yihye ason, but she doesn't get killed. Ano she'anesh ka'asher yashita labala isha v'natam b'flilim. Okay, the husband of the guy who hit her has to pay her whatever price the husband gives. Okay, whatever the right, we're not going to get into that right now. He has to pay for the baby who got lost, the fetus. V'im ason yihyeh v'natata nefesh tacha nefesh. But if she gets killed, then he has to pay nefesh tacha nefesh. And notice, there's no monetary payment for the fetus. So what do you see here? Kim lebe derab amine. Okay, now, what kind of an ason is this? Ason bidei adam, clearly, right? That's why the base opinion is, it's ason bidei adam. It only is when there's bidei adam and not bidei shamayim. Well, comes Rava and he says...
You're saying two different things. The ason is the act, whatever happened. It's not the punishment. Here you're talking about a punishment is bidei shamayim or bidei adam.
Right.
And there you're talking about
So you're right. So here he gets a punishment. Sorry, it was my fault. My mistake. Here he gets punished, bidei adam, nefesh tachat nefesh. He's going to get killed in a court. And therefore, you're right, I'm sorry. And therefore, that comes to override the payment. Okay, you're right. It's the punishment. Punishment is bidei adam. So now, Abaye says like this. Here's Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana's reasoning. There it says ason in his bidei adam. But now we're going to see another ason, which is bidei shamayim. What's that? V'ne'emar ason bidei shamayim. Okay, I forgot to bring the pasuk on the page, but if you have the gemaras that have the psukim on the side, it's Ot Bet on the side. I'll read it. When it comes to, anyway, it's a familiar pasuk for you. When Binyamin, right, Binyamin is supposed to go down to Mitzrayim. Yosef says, bring Binyamin, right? What does Yaakov say? Vayomer lo yere b'ni imachem, ki achiv met, v'hu levado nishar. Okay, right, he's the only one left. V'karao asom baderech asher tochuba. I'm worried that some terrible thing is going to happen to him. What kind of an asom is he worried about? Assumption. Okay, we might change this later, but assumption. An asom bidei shamayim. In other words, something's going to happen to him on the way. What's going to happen to him on the way? Some calamity that God's going to take him. Okay, we're going to have a whole discussion. Where's the crossover between asom bidei shamayim and asom bidei adam? But we'll get to this in a minute. So, maha asom. So the assumption is that's an asom bidei shamayim, according to Abaye. Ma ason ha'amor bidei adam patur mina tashlumin, af ason ha'amor bidei shamayim patur mina tashlumin. Now, because we have ason here and we have ason there, we're going to say that the ason there applies also, right? We learn kim lebe derabba mina from the word ason. And we have another pasuk where it says ason, it means bidei shamayim. So we're going to apply the principle, it's almost like a gzera shava type thing. We're going to apply the principle of kim lebe derabba mina that applies in that ason to the one that applies in this ason of the bidei shamayim. So now the Gemara says, mat kifla, Rav Adbar Ava Mimai, Dechika Mazhar Lehu Yaakov Lebnei Alcinim Upachim, to Bidei Shamayim Ninhu. Who are you to say that what he was concerned about was Sinim Upachim, which is generally translated as getting sick and dying from kor or chom? Okay, he's worried about the weather. The weather, right, is Bidei Shamayim. Okay, at least that's what we're going to say right now. Okay, weather we assume is controlled by God, nature, right? So, who's to say that that's what he was worried about? Dilma al Arya Vaganve to be Deadam Ninu. Maybe he was worried about lions and robbers attacking him, that you'd be Deadam. So now they say, Atu Yaakov, aha azher, ahai lo azher? What, you want to think that Yaakov was specifically only saying Arayot Vaganavim and not Sinim Vapachim? Yaakov al Komile Izhar. But Sinim Vapachim be Deshamai, al Komile Izhar. What does that mean? It means, it's not that he was only worried about Asom Bidei Shamayim, but he was worried about both Asom Bidei Adam and Asom Bidei Shamayim. And because he was worried about all these things, right? So that was included in what he said. So the word Asom, again, can include Bidei Shamayim. It doesn't mean exclusively. Okay, so now we have an assumption that Asom means Bidei Shamayim, right? Because he was worried about the weather. So the assumption we're going to make right now is that Asom, what we've made until now, is that weather-related things are Bidei Shamayim, right? And lions and robbers are bidei adam. Now the Gemara is going to question that, and in the end, they're actually going to flip them. Okay, here's like an interesting thing about what is in God's hands and what's in man's hands, right? So here we're going to have an interesting thing. So now they say, v'tzinim v'pachim bidei shamayim ninyu, are they really bidei shamayim? V'hatanya, doesn't it say in a braita, hakol bidei shamayim chutz mitzinim u'pachim. Okay, everything is bidei shamayim. Any kind of death that comes, you say, oh, that was God's hand. Except for korin chom, shenemar, because we have a pasuk in Mishle. Tzinim pachim biderech ikesh, okay, cold and hot weather on a twisted road. Shomer nafsho yurchak mehem. If you're smart, you'll protect yourself from them. What does that mean? Right? If it's really hot, what are you going to do? You're going to put on warm clothes. If it's really cold, what are you going to do? I'm sorry. You're going to take off your clothes, or obviously not. I could take off, but you know, you're going to, if it's really cold, you're going to warm yourself up. So it's in your hands to protect yourself. There's a chair here. It's in your hands to protect yourself from bad weather. Okay? So now, basically, they're going to say, so Dafka, that one issue, yeah, if a robber comes and attacks you on the road, well, how are you going to know to protect yourself from that? You're not going to know it's coming. That's Bidei Shamayim. But when, you know, the cold weather is there, so wear a warm jacket, wear a warm hat, protect yourself. Okay. Vitu, now they're going to show the opposite. Arye v'ganve bidei adam ninhu. You want to say that's bidei adam? V'ha'amar Rav Yosef, v'chein tani Rabbi Chiya. Miyom shecharav Beit HaMikdash. Here's a really interesting perspective here. From the time that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, af al pi shebatlu Sanhedrin, arba mitot lo batlu. Even though there's no Sanhedrin, they still have the arba mitot, okay? At the very bottom of Lamed Amud Aleph. So now they say, lo batlu? We didn't, they weren't mevatel the arba mitzvot. Of course they were, right? There's no, as soon as there's no Sanhedrin Gdola, they were no longer, dinei nefashot you can do in batei din of 23, and there were some batei din of 23. But so long as the Beit Din of 71 is not sitting in the Beit HaMikdash and Lishkat HaGazit, you can't dan dinei nefashot anymore. Even though, in theory, you can do it in a Beit Din of 23, not if the Sanhedrin isn't there. So what do they say? Eladin arba mitzvot lo batlu. What does that mean? Mishenitchayev skila, that God is orchestrating things. So if you're chayev skila, you do something that's chayev skila, o nofel min agag, o chaya dorasto. Okay, what would they do with the skila? They would throw him from a high place and he would fall, and then they would throw rocks on him. So now we're going to have cases where basically, you know, something's going to happen to you that's like a fall from a high place. You're going to fall from a roof, or an animal is going to attack you and like throw you, basically. Mishnei chayev strefa, if you're chayev strefa, o nofel b'dleika, o nachash mechisho. Either you're going to get burned, right, in a fire, or a snake's going to bite you, in which case the poison's going to go into your body and burn the insides of your body. Yeah, it's a very dangerous statement. It is. We'll talk about it in a minute. Okay. Umishne chayev hariga, onim sar lamachut, oli steam ba'im alav, because generally you would get killed by a sword that way, right? They chop off with your head, right? That's the. Umishne chayev chenek, o tovea benahar, o make bistronchi, which is a disease where you would, your throat would constrict basically until you can breathe. Okay, so there they say, ela ipuch. From here, now they're going to say, so the answer is like this. We've switched everything we've said until now. The arayot and the ganavim are davka bidei shamayim, and sinim v'pachim bidei adam. Okay? Okay. Now, we can stop for 1 minute. I don't want to spend too much time on this because I really want to get through Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph also, so we can get you through some of tomorrow's daf. But basically, there's something complicated here, right? I think what's really going, and I want to look at it for a minute in... Really, the perspective is we don't know what's bidei shamayim and what's bidei adam. Almost the ipuch, right, is like there's bul here, right? The whole sugi is very complicated, right? How do you look at someone getting killed? Do we assume it's God's hand? Do we, you know, to say it's not God's hand at all is complicated. To say it's all God's hands, like Shoshana is saying, what do you mean? You're going to see someone fall from the roof and you're going to say, oh, you must have been chayev skila? That's very problematic, right? So in a sense, the sugi is relating to both those perspectives. Yeah, what do you want to add, Rezal?
That the other one, Sarunchi, here it says it's diphtheria.
Okay.
Okay, so now we have a vaccination, but when we didn't...
Right, yeah,
so
fair.
So what do you mean, everybody
right.
that fells...
Okay, so Rezal's pointing out if Sarunchi is diphtheria, now we have a vaccine. Nobody's getting sick from it, so now what, we've overridden God? You know, if that was
and
the way God used for punishment.
And before that, would you say everybody that got
right.
sick?
Right. Well, that's obviously
really
the question. Exactly. Right. That's obviously the question. And like Shoshana said, it's a very, very dangerous road to go down.
Yeah.
What I think in the end, the message from this sugya. So, first of all, I think that source that says this could have just been a way of scaring people. Mm-hmm. A scaring tactic, okay? Just like it says, I'll give you an example. We learned this in Shabbos. It says, if you don't eat sudash, no, if you do sudash lishit, you'll be nitzol me, dinashal gogu magog, and dinashal gehenom. And what does that mean? Like, it was a way of saying to people, you better do this, because this is going to, right? It was almost like a code dibur, you know, like a way people speak, but not necessarily they really meant it. They wanted to say, don't worry, people are still getting punished for things. There's still punishments. Just because the Sanhedrin can't administer punishment. Imagine what it was like for them. In the generation that crossed over, we had a whole punishment system set up in place. Now, it's true, they barely ever killed anybody, okay? According to some of the sources, anyway. Unclear what really happened, but there are sources that say, you know, a Sanhedrin that killed 1 in 70 years was considered, you know, a killer Sanhedrin. But on the other hand, they did have a system of death. And now, all of a sudden, they went from people getting killed, or at least the possibility that people could get killed, to having nothing. So it could be, it was also a way to tell the people, don't worry, God is still, you know, God is going to take care of it. However, it's a slippery slope, because where you take this and how people respond, and the same way nowadays, there's rabbis who come out and make statements like, oh, that happened because of this, you know, and very, very difficult in our eyes to say things like that. So anyway, and here you see both sides, and they're struggling with it. They're grappling with dafka these issues. How do you view a robber attacking you? Do you think it was God's hands or not? So it's tricky. Now it's tough, because here the sugya dafka concludes the way that we would have thought not to conclude. But anyway, food for thought. That was Abaye. Rava said, okay, so now what do you see here? Just I want to be clear. Until now we talked about karet versus mitabi de'adam. Abaye relates not necessarily to karet specifically. He relates to any mita bidei shamayim. Now, sometimes in the Torah, there's mita bidei shamayim where there is no karet. Okay, it's not called karet. It's just mita bidei shamayim. Like, for example, we're going to see this in a minute, truma. Okay, truma, for example, if you remember, if you're a zara that eats truma, you get mita bidei shamayim, but it's not karet. Okay, so Abaye would include that in his definition because he's talking about any death bidei shamayim. Whereas Rava, now we're going to see, only relates specifically to Karet. And that's going to be the whole next discussion, which is, what's the difference between Abaye and Rava? And they're going to say it's in a case of Mita Bidei Shamayim. So Rava Amar, Ta'amad Rabbi Nechunya Ben Akani, he gives a different reason, not the Pesuk Ason Ason, Mehacha. Ve'im halem ya'alimu am ha'aretz et enehem min ha'ishahu, betito mizar'o lamolech, ve'samti ani et panai ba'ishahu uba mishpachto v'yichrati yoto. Okay, if the people don't take care of this guy who brought his kid to the molech, right, which avodah zarah, I will take care of him, and I will, you know, hichrati, I will give him karet. Amra Torah, karet sheli kimita shelachem. Now we're going to see, the pasuk itself, no gzera shava, two different pasukim, the pasuk itself is comparing death by karet to death bidei adam. This guy should be killed bidei adam. If the bidei adam aren't going to do it, then God is going to do it. So ma mita shelachem patur min hatashlumim, af karet sheli patur min hatashlumim. So we're going to make the comparison across the board. Just like my karet, just like your death is patur min hatashlumim, my karet will be. So now the Gemara says, like I already told you, my ika ben Rava Labai, what's the difference here? Ika ben ayu zar shachal truma. Okay, if a zar eats truma, labai patur, because it's mita bidei shamayim, and that would patur min hatashlumim. Ula Rava chayav, because it's not karet, and he only said karet, because it says yichrati ba pasuk. So karet is patur, but not mita bidei shamayim. That's very simple. Now we're going to get into the complicated issue, which is, according to Abaye, okay, and this is going to get into the real crux of Kim Leibid Rabbi Mine, and when does it apply and when doesn't it apply, okay? According to Abaye, so now we have a case. Zar she'achal truma, okay? He is going to be patur. What does this mean? He eats truma, and he takes it from the Kohen, right? It's not his to eat. He takes it from the Kohen. He steals it. So he's chayev in stealing, and he has to pay back the money to the Kohen. And he's also chayev in Mita bidei shamayim. So he should be patur from stealing it. Okay? But now we're going to have a problem with this. V'ha'amar Rav Chista, doesn't Rav Chista say like this? The mode Rabbi Nechunya ben Akane, he would agree though, in this kind of a case, like what is it? Begonev, now here we're not going to see truma, it's going to be chelev. Begonev chelbo shel chavero. Remember this, isur to eat chelev, it's the kind of fat from the animal. If he eats the chelev of his friends, he steals it. Ve'achalo shehu chayav. You would still be chayav in this case. Why? Shekvar nitchayev b'gneva kodem shabal lidei isur chelev. What's the issue with Kim Leibid Rabbi Mine? It's only when both isurim happen at the exact same moment. We're going to have a whole discussion today about what does this mean at the exact same moment. We're going to see all different cases and different things where there's the moment maybe is an extended moment. Okay, we'll see that. But right now, we're going to say, if you steal it, so first there's the moment of stealing. Now, at what moment are you chayav in stealing? When you do hagbaha, you raise it three tvachim, you basically do a kinyan on the person's object, and then you eat it. So now you're chayav in stealing first, and then you're chayav in death after. So that's not, you know, you shouldn't be putter in that case. So if you're not putter in that case, right? Alma de me'ina de agneve kanye, right? From the moment de agbe, that he was magbia, okay? Kanye, mitchayev benafsho lohave ad achile, right? But he wasn't mitchayev benafsho until he eats it. So there's the moment of stealing, right? He steals it. And then after that is the moment of eating. So if those don't happen at the same time, which would be the exact same thing by truma. First you steal the truma, right? How else do you get it? Then you eat it. Those happen at different moments, or maybe not. So now they're going to say, so hachanam is likewise in our case, be'idna da'ag be'kanye. First he stole the truma, he was magbia, he was kone, and then mitchayev b'nafsholo ha'be'ad achile. So what's going to be the case then? If we said that this is the nafkamina between them, how can we have a case where Abaye would say the zar shachal truma would be pater? Zar shachal truma should also be, should be chayav in both, because it's not kimle. So what do they say? Hacha b'mayas kinan kigon shetachav lo chavero l'toch piv. Okay? His friend stuck it into his mouth, and therefore the moment, now you have to get into, we're going to see there's distinctions here, but the moment he puts it in his mouth, at that same moment he's obligated for stealing, and he's obligated for eating the truma. Okay? Now, but then they say, wait, but sof kevan de la'ase, or I don't know, like he was lo'es, kanye, mitchayev b'nafsho lo have ad debala. Wait, but there's two stages of eating. There's putting it in your mouth. As soon as you start chewing it, then you're chayev for stealing because you basically acquired it at that point. But you're only chayev kare, mita bidei shamayim, for eating it when you swallow it. Okay? Yeah. So, now we're going to have a better one. Okay, so kigon shetachav lo litoch beit habliya. He put it all the way down. There was no swallowing. The friend shoved it down his throat, right? You say to shove something down his throat. That's what he did. Shoved it down his throat till the bliya happened, right? That was the moment he stole it. And that was the moment he was chayev in truma. So now they say, wait a minute, though. Hechidame. If he has the possibility of regurgitating it and spitting it out, then he should do that. And then he won't be chayv in the gneva, right? And then he'll return it to the kohen. Okay, forget. We'll get to that in a minute. And if he can't return it, then why is he chayv? He's ones, right? There's a case of ones. He shouldn't be chayv at all. Okay? So what do they say? It's where he could regurgitate it, but it's very difficult for him. So at that point, yes, he could do it, but he didn't do it because it was hard for him, and therefore he's chayv in the gneva, because he decided at that moment, I'm not going to regurgitate this because it's too much of a pain for me. I'm just going to swallow it. And then he was chayv in gzela, and he was chayv in the eating the truma. Okay, that's one explanation of this case of truma. Now we're going to have two other ones. Rav Papa Amar, kigon shetachav lo chaviro mashkin shel truma l'toch piv. Now a mashke, once he puts it in your mouth, you can't spit it back up, right? And if you did, it would be disgusting already. Nobody would eat it. Forget about the fact that the other one would be disgusting, but okay. And that would be the case. Rav Ashi Amar, bizar she'achal truma mishelo v'kara shirayim shel chaviro. What does that mean? It's a case where he eats his own truma. Okay, meaning, let's say he has the truma in his house, he hasn't yet given it to a kohen. I guess that would be the case, I would assume. So he eats his own, meaning he didn't steal it from anybody, so there's no chiyuv gneva. Well, if there's no chiyuv gneva, then what's the chiyuv mamon that we're talking about here? There has to be a chiyuv mamon. So it's a zar shachal truma, and while he was swallowing it at the exact same moment, karash shirayim shel chaviro, he ripped some fancy clothes, okay, silk clothes of his friend. Okay, now here you see that it doesn't have to be the same act. It could be two different acts, but if you're doing them at the same moment, right, you might have thought, kim le b'derabim mine means one act. In one act, you're doing two things. No, here it even means if you're doing one act and you're ripping another act. Now, there's a bit of an issue with this also that's complicated, which is there's a sugya in Sanhedrin which talks about mita lezeh v'tashlumin lezeh. In other words, you're not, you know, your chiyuv is to two different people, like you're... but you'd have to say the Rav Ashi thinks, okay, Rashi says this, Usfira le Rav Ashi, mita bezele tashlumin leze patur. These are two different things. They're disconnected, right? Some people think you're chayav there, but he says, no, dafka, you're patur there. You would still have kimle. And that's why he gives this as an example. Okay, now we're going to go back to this base case that we started with of Rav Chista. Am Rav Chista, modu Rav Nechunya ben Akane, begonev chalbo shel chavero, vachlo shu chayav, shekvar nitchayev begneva kodem sheyavo lidei isur chelef. So now they're going to say that Rav Chista lema pligi to Rabbi Avin. Maybe you must have to say that he disagrees with Rabbi Avin. Why? De amar Rabbi Avin hazorek chetz mitchilat arba lesof arba. Okay, now we're going back to Hilchot Shabbat that we learned. Okay, you have to go way back. We learned when it comes to Hilchot Shabbat, you want to be ma'avir arba amot bereshit arabim, right? That's your chiyuv midoraita of carrying. You carry something for amot. Now, there's two parts to that act, if you remember. There's the akira, there's the uprooting it from the first spot, and then there's the hanacha of the next spot. So now, what are they going to say here? Let's say you threw an arrow, mitchilat arba lesof arba. So first you're okir, then you're miniach, right? Now, in the middle of that act, as it was going from, let's say this part of the table is the akira part, okay? The end of the table where Ezel's sitting is the hanacha part. I throw the arrow in the air. In the air, in the middle of the table, is somebody's shirt hanging. Okay, let's say there's a line, a clothesline. Someone's clothesline's in the middle of the street. And I shoot my arrow across, and it rips. It cuts right through the arrow. Okay? So now, according to Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana said, what will we say? Right? You be chayav. Why? Because, okay, let me just see. Rav Karashi Ram Balichato Patur Sha'akira Tzorech Hanachahi. So Hachanami, right? This is what he's going to say. Here we would say, Rabbi Avin says, you're Patur, why? Because Akira is Tzorach Hanacha. Akira is part of Hanacha, and therefore this is all one act. It's all happening at the same moment. The Akira, the Hanacha, is all considered one act. In the middle of that act, you do the, right? You damage someone's property. But HaChanami, in our case, what's the comparison? HaGbaha Tzorach Achilahi. When you pick up that chelev to eat it, you haven't finished your process, right? The hagbah is for the sake of eating it. We'll see. I see your face. We're going to say it's not really the same, okay? But you have to understand at least the premise that hagbah is tzorach achila, and therefore you should be pater, because it's all one act. One leads to the other, right? You can't, let's put it this way. You can't have hanacha without the akira, right? You can't have eating without the hagbah, right? You can't possibly be magbiah, right? You can't possibly eat this item without having picked it up. Or maybe you can. We're going to get to that. That's going to be the answer, one of the answers. So now they're going to say, Hachi Hashta, are you making this comparison? Hatam, efshar lahanacha below Akira. Hacha efshar lachia below Agbah. Dibai gachim ba'achil. He could bow down like a dog, right? On the ground. Right? You think of those people in Shoftim, right? When they ate like the dog, then they, or Yoshua. It's
Shoftim.
It is Shoftim. Okay, right. They, right. Gidon. Right. Yeah. So they ate like dogs. So you could bow down, you know, and maybe lift it a drop, but not three tefachim. It has to be lifted three tefachim. Inami. Or you could say there's a difference, because what happens when I shoot that arrow, there's no return at that point. I can't take back the arrow, right? Assuming it's not like on a thing, it's attached to me, right? I can't take it back. Once I shot it, I shot it. So, hatam ibaila dure lo matzi mahadur. If I wanted to take it back, I couldn't. Hacha matzi mehadrala. But when I pick up that item to eat it, I could always change my mind. So they're not as integrally connected. Okay?
I'm surprised they didn't say based on where the hanacha is, also can change the whole isur.
Why based on where the hanacha is? What do you mean?
Meaning, if you do the hanacha in Shuta Yachlib, do the hanacha in Shuta Rabim, if the hanacha goes above 10 tefachim, if the hanacha goes, like, we learned all those different cases.
Yeah, but here they're talking about specifically a case where it was munach, it landed in, you know, past Arba Amot, and you were chayev, as they're taking a base case of Rabbi Avin, that this is what you did, right? And it landed within 10 tefachim of the ground, and it landed, right? In other words, it was a known,
specific.
Right. Okay. So now, my ikah ben hai lishna la hai lishna, what's going to be a nafkamina between these two? Find a case where one is, it's irreversible, right? Because once you shot it, ema lasot. And the other is because you can't do hanacha without akira, so they're integrally connected. So now, what would be the difference, la halacha? Ika benayu, hamavir sakim bereshut harabim. Let's say you're walking carrying a knife, okay? And your knife is face down, right? They always say carry your scissors, you know, hold face down, or your knife, okay? So he's carrying a sakim bereshut harabim. Bikarash shirayim bahalichato. Right, and he's walking arba amot bereshit harabim. So lahach lishna damart e efshar lahanacha below akira hachanami e efshar lahanacha below akira. Right, he hasn't put down the knife yet, so he's not yechayav until he goes through, cuts the shirayim, right, and then puts down the knife somewhere. But lahach lishna damart lo matzi mahadrla. Right, it's irreversible once you throw that arrow. Hachinami matzi mahadrla. Here you could take back the knife. In other words, you could prevent it from happening. Once you did the akira, it doesn't mean you're necessarily going to cut through that shirt that's on your way. Okay? So therefore, there would be a difference to halacha. Okay, now we're going to go back into Rabbi Avin's statement. Gufa. I'm going to go back and understand this better. Am Rabbi Avin. Hazarek chetz mitchilat arba lesof arba. V'kara shirayim bahalichato patur. Sha'akira tzorech hanachahi. Okay? So now, Mativ Rabibi Barabai. Rabibi says, wait a minute. I have a question. We have a source that says like this. Hagonev kis b'shabbat, a Tanaitic source. Hagonev kis b'shabbat chayav. Shekvar nitchayev b'gneva kodem shiavo lidei isur skila. If you rob someone's money, okay, kis is a money pouch. You rob someone's money on Shabbat, okay? You're, right, it's like a humintashin is the kis of Haman, right? It was full of stuff. That's the kis is not necessarily a pocket. It's sort of like a satchel. Hagonev kis b'shabbat, you're chayav. Why? Because kvar nitchayev b'gneva, first you, what happens? You go into someone's house, you rob their stuff. You lifted three tefachim in their house. You are now the owner, right? You've now been mitchayev b'gneva. Then you take it out to Rishut HaRabim, right? You're chayev on hotzah me'Rishut HaYachid l'Rishut HaRabim. So you are chayev in both because it didn't happen at the same time. Okay? So, Hayam migarir viyotze, migarir viyotze. What if you drag it on the floor? so that you're not merim the object. Patur. And then when do you become the owner? When you move it out of the reshut. Then you get ownership because you've taken it out of his house. Okay? And then at the same moment, you're motzi mirushut the reshut. Ve'amai. And why would you say this? Hachanami lema hagba tzorech hotzahi. In the first case, what would you say? According to Rabbi Avin, what did we say? Since the Akira and Hanacha are integrally connected, right? You can't do Hanacha without Akira. Therefore, the whole time between Akira and Hanacha is all considered part of the act. And if you do, you rip the shirt on the way in between those two, you're still within that one act. So here, when you're in someone's house and you lift that wallet of the guy, why are you lifting it? You're not lifting it to hang out with it in his house. You're lifting it to take it out of the house. So when you lift it to take it out of the house, what's happening basically? Your anything that happens in between the time you lift it until the time you're motzi l'reshut harabim is all part of the act. In which case, what do we say? Well, then when you're motzi l'reshut harabim, l'reshut harabim, you're chiyuv shaban chiyuv gneva ba'in kechad. Okay, so now they're saying that goes against, Rabbi Avin would say you're putter, and you're chayev in this case, and he says you're putter. Okay, the Braita says you're putter. So, what do we say? Hacha b'mayas kinan, kigon, I didn't skip anything, right? Yeah. Kigon shehigbiho amanat latznia. B'nimlach alav v'hotzio. Now we're going to learn that in order to say hagba is l'tzorach hotzah, you had to have had intention when you were magbia that you were going to be motzi. But let's say you had intent that you're going to go into this guy's house, take his wallet and hide it somewhere. You don't plan to take it outside, you plan to hide it. Maybe you want to come back a different day and take it out. I don't know why you're hiding it, but you do it, amanat lahatznio, and then you change your mind, vahotzio. Now, at that point, you've broken the connection between the hagba and the hotzah, and it's now a new act. So your first act of hagba just had the kinyan about it. The second act, when you're magbiyat again to take it out, that's a whole new act, and therefore he would say your patr. V'chi agav, so now they say, v'chi agavna mi chayav, you really be chayav in that case? V'ha'amar of Simon, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ha'mifane chafatzim mizavit lizavit. Let's say you're moving chafatzim from one corner to the other. V'nimlach aleihem v'hotzi'an, patur, shelo hayta akira misha'ari shona lekach. So now, if you're moving chafatzim from one corner to the other, and then you change your mind and decide to take them out, you're not even chayav in Shabbat. In other words, forget the fact that you've broken your act. Right? Then what were they trying to say? Then you'd be chayav both. You'd be chayav on the first, right? What we just said, if you do it on manat latzmi'o, so you'd be chayav on gneva in the first one, and the second one you'd be chayav on hotzah. But now they're saying no. You shouldn't even be chayav in Shabbat according to that, because you have to have dad from the beginning to do what you wanted to do. If you are moving chafatzim from corner to corner in your house, and then you change your mind and take them out, patur. Because you have to have Akira Misha'ari Shona. So in this case, he didn't have Akira Misha'ari Shona. When he first picked up the object in the house, he wasn't planning to take it out. If that's the case, you're not even Chayav in Shabbat. Forget Kim Libid Rabba Mineh. It's not even relevant. There is no Kim Libid Rabba Mineh here because there is no Chayav Shabbat even. So then they say, Lo Tema Manat Latznio. So therefore, you can't say it's that he did it in order to hide it and then decide to take it out. Ela ema amanat lahotzio. It is amanat lahotzio. That was the intent. But wahacha b'mayaskinan kisha amad. Okay, this is going to remind you, Shoshana, of the stuff we learned in Shabbat. If you stop in the middle and you stand, okay, then you basically break the akira hanacha connection. Okay, so then what happened? You stopped. Okay, so now they're going to say amad lamai. For what case were you standing? Okay, you know, we'll stop here for today and we'll get into tomorrow. Okay, what I want to do is, I can't promise, but what I'd like to do is leave you off the hook for tomorrow, learning-wise. We'll pick up from here on Friday and we'll just see how far we can get. Hopefully I can get through Lama Bet, I'm a Bet. Okay, in the worst case, you'll make it up on Shabbat, whatever we don't get through. But I figured the Depim aren't so long and they're manageable. So we'll try to do that and try to finish the end of Lama Bet on Friday. Okay, so we'll meet up Friday morning, regular time. Yeah.